Welcome to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Forest City, Iowa, and our abbreviated worship service from March 5th, 2017. We hope this is a blessing to you today and always.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sins and whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess
that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, let us pray. Lord God, our strength, the struggle between good and evil rages within and around us, and the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, rise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Genesis, starting with chapter 2. A reading from Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans, beginning with chapter 5, a reading from Romans. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left Jesus, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Anyway, I like tops. Do any of you guys like tops? I have a very, very small collection. These are the four that I keep in my office. I have a couple at home. I don't know why, but I just really like to watch them spin. Oh! They're going to bump each other, aren't they? They have a little battle going on. But the thing about a top is that everything revolves around its center. See, every top that's made has a point at the bottom. And everything has to revolve around that center. Otherwise, when it doesn't, see, the weight's getting off center. What happens? What happens?
It stops.
It falls, doesn't it? It stops and it falls. Can you guys see? Can you guys see? Come on over. This one's still going. It's pretty good. So in a way, tops are like our life, aren't they? Our lives were created to revolve around God. God being the center of our life and of the universe. And when our lives fail to revolve around God, what happens? Huh? What happens to our life? It gets wobbly, doesn't it? And we fall. Today in Genesis, we hear a little bit of the story of what we call the fall of creation into sin. It was a time when people took their eyes off of God and started listening to the temptations of their own heart that came to them to do what they wanted rather than what God wanted for them. So, I think if you guys have some tops at home, you might just remember that everything revolves around that center. I suppose that's called centrifugal force. And when it doesn't, it falls. And the same thing is true with our lives. Our life revolves around God. Shall we pray? All right. You guys can probably play with those later. You know where to find them. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, you and your Father and your Spirit are the center of our life. You give us life. Help us turn to you in this Lenten time. And to remember that you guide us, you direct us, you give us everything that we need to come to you. You've opened the door to your heart so that we can come in and know you and be known by you. When our lives fail to revolve around you, return us to you in your grace and your mercy. We pray this in the name of Jesus.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I read the appointed text for the week, a word grabbed me. And when a word grabs you as a preacher, I suppose it's good to heed that
that word. The word that grabbed me this week was from Genesis chapter 3, verse 3. And in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3, the serpent asks the woman, "Did God say that you shall eat, not eat from any tree in the garden?" In response, the woman says, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." In the Hebrew, the word is tavek, a word meaning middle or center. You shall not eat of the tree that is, of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. When God placed the man and the woman in the garden to tend it, God said, "You shall have dominion," yes, dominion over, but not domination over the creation. Dominion suggests rule, yes, but not rule as one that has domination over. In other words, God gave the man and the woman dominion, but as servants of creation. Dominion over would suggest that creation was made for humanity. Dominion would suggest that humanity was placed into the midst of the garden to care for it and to tend it, to be a blessing, to bring life and longevity to that creation. I'd like you to take a moment to talk with somebody around you about your understanding of creation. Was humanity made to care for and bless creation, or was creation made to bless and create, bless and care for man? So again, I've already kind of told you what I think, but go ahead and talk about that with your neighbor. How is it that you see God's order of creation? Is creation for humanity, or is humanity for creation? It's okay to talk in church. I know it makes some of you uncomfortable, but it's okay. If you're listening on the radio, certainly we invite you to have a dialogue in your home. The serpent tempted the man and the woman to the middle of the garden, to the center. And I can't help but think there is something about that word, tavek. That result that the temptation of the temptation that the author wants us to notice. The center is God's place. And in God's ordering of creation, human beings are called, made, or created to serve at the center, to serve God and to serve creation and neighbor. The order of God's creation is God at the center. And we are placed in the midst of creation to serve God. And certainly God's word in Matthew calls us to serve. When we want to serve God, we are called to serve our neighbor. Therefore, we also place our neighbor. We are called to place our neighbor at the center. But here the serpent tempts the man and the woman to put themselves, tempts them to bring themselves into the middle, into the center of creation. These words certainly resonate as we meet Jesus in the wilderness this morning. Jesus is facing the temptations based upon his own power and privilege. In the closing verses of chapter 3 in Matthew's gospel, Jesus comes up out of the waters of the Jordan from his baptism. The heavens are torn apart and the Spirit descends upon him. And the voice of the heaven proclaims, "This is my beloved with whom I am well pleased." Then by the Spirit, Jesus is driven out into the wilderness and tempted. The first two temptations begin with the words, "If you are the Son of God," challenging that which had just been spoken from heaven, "This is my Son This word if is a conditional, it's a double conditional, which means that it should really be translated into English, since you are the Son of God. And so the tempter says to Jesus, since you are the Son of God, and you are, make these stones into bread. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He was famished. Turn these stones into bread and satisfy yourself. In other words, put yourself, your own needs at the center, Jesus. You are God's Son. You deserve that place. Again, the second temptation, since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the high place, from this pinnacle of the temple. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Make yourself the center of the universe, Jesus. Make the creation serve you. Use your power and privilege to command the universe to come to your aid. But Jesus resists. In the third temptation, there is a bit of a relenting from the tempter. Okay, Jesus, if you won't put yourself in the center, then put me there. Look at the kingdoms of the earth. All these can be yours if you will only bow down and worship me. If you won't put yourself in the center, Jesus, then put me there. I will save you a whole lot of suffering if you will only bow and worship me as the center of the universe. Jesus responds, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. We too are so tempted to put self or some other idol in God's place. A story told by Barbara Brockhoff goes like this. A 16-year-old boy told his parents that he was running away from home. Listen, he said, I'm leaving home. There is nothing you can do to stop me. I've made up my mind. I want excitement, adventure, beautiful women, money, and fun. I'll never find it here, so I'm leaving. Just don't try to stop me. As he headed for the door, his father leapt up and ran toward him. Dad, the boy said firmly, you heard what I said. Don't try to stop me. I'm going, said the dad. Who's trying to stop you? I'm going with you. He was tempted by the son's desire to put himself in that place of pleasure and joy and self-fulfillment and self-gratitude. I'm going with you, said the father. We too are tempted to put ourselves at the center, to take that place of God, to put ourselves there in the center, ahead of neighbor, and ahead of those whom God has given us to love and care for. In chapter 16, verse 6 of Matthew's gospel, Jesus asks this question, what will it profit a person if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? I can't help but think that Jesus has learned this lesson from experience, from his temptations here in the wilderness. What will it profit a person if he gains the whole world? If he collects the whole world into the center of his universe, but loses his soul in the process. How are you tempted? How are you tempted to the center? To be served rather than to serve. It happens in our marriages. It happens in our work. It happens on teams that we're part of. I think that we're tempted every day to put ourselves at the center and to take that place of God. See, you and I too are children of God. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And that leads some to think that we have a place of power and privilege that we deserve, that we have somehow earned something over and against the other. So the question might be, how in this year of always being made new will you use your childhood, your place of power and privilege, in ways that will make a difference for those in your life? Matt Skinner, in Working Preacher, suggests that sometimes trust in God, in other words, putting God at the center, trust in God will often look foolish to the world around you. Again, Jesus, in the wilderness, famished from 40 days of fasting, could have easily said, "It's my right, I will turn these stones into bread and fill myself." He could have avoided a death sentence by taking a shortcut based on his power and privilege. Sometimes trust in God will look foolish to the outsider. It will look like love even when that love is not returned. It will look like love even for enemies and prayers for those who persecute you. It will look like forgiveness even when it's not asked for, or even when it's given and then the sin is perpetrated again. Looks a little foolish to the outsider. It might look like help for others when our plate is already full and overflowing. It might look like trust, even when trust hasn't been earned. It might look like generosity, even in the face of an uncertain, of our own uncertain financial future. But then again, Jesus looked a little foolish to the outside world too, didn't he? A man who gave himself for a world that stood against him, for a world that stood as his enemy, for a world that crucified him. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." A foolish prayer to the outside world, but a prayer of life for those of us who crucify him by our sin. Dear friends, where are you tempted to put yourself in the center? Where is God calling you to turn around, to be made new, to reorient your life to where God is at the center? To where the need of your neighbor is at the center, to where the need of the stranger is at the center. This is the life that truly is life. Again, it may seem a little foolish, but it's the promise of our God. Amen.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Lifting our voices and turning toward God, let us pray for the church, the earth, and all who are in need. God of love, hear the cry of those who yearn for love, the fractured families, the broken homes, the lonely. Lord, in your mercy. God of justice, hear the cry of those who yearn for justice, the ill-treated, the exploited, the anxious. Lord, in your mercy. God of peace, hear the cry of those who yearn for peace, the fearful, the broken states, the weary nations. Lord, in your mercy. I invite you to pray for those who are listed in our bulletin. We pray for Gracie, Jacob,
Fanny, March, Judy, Carmen, Amy, Lynn, Kyle, Strauss, Tim, Marge, Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Nineties, Missionaries of Common, and Josephine Meetings.
Lord, in your mercy. Accompany us on our Lenten journeys and inspire us with the witness of the saints who walked faithfully with you. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, merciful God, we commend all who we pray for, trusting in your steadfast love through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The God who has called us forth from the dust of the earth and claimed us as children of light, strengthen you on your journey into life renewed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Cross of Christ, go forth to love and to serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.